Hello and welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., your loyal host and producer, opening up the program with our theme song, composed and performed by Mr. Gregory Stafford. The song is entitled No One Else. I want to tell you what we're going to be taking a look at. A country called Belize. That's right, we're going to take a look at Belize. This is a place that came into existence and a people who came into existence when West Africans intermarried with Caribbean Islanders to create a new and distinct culture. The BBC is going to let us know more about them. In the meantime, I'd like for you to allow me to move us forward with this conversation with a little bit of music from, since, you know, they intermarried with Caribbean Islanders, a song entitled One Step Ahead by the Caribbean Jazz Project. Can you hear a bit of the Caribbean flavor in this song? Is there strong and powerful? You hear that strong Caribbean percussion? All right, I will definitely be letting you hear more of that as we go. But I tell you, it's so amazing. Boats came at dawn along the shores of the town of Dangriga on the coast of Belize. On board, they had vibrantly dressed men, women, and children who were carrying homemade flags and waved bright green fronds of coconut palm branches as they approached the shore. On land, a crowd waited ready to cheer as feet stepped out of the boats to touch sand. This was actually an enactment, a real enactment by real people in the real place called Belize. But on a similar morning in 1832, the Garifuna people, who are descendants of Carib, Arawak, and West African people, made the same journey from St. Vincent Island in the Caribbean, finally able to call Belize home after being turned away by the British government three times. They were looking for a new home. They were hoping to make Britain their home, but the British said it's not going to happen. So now every year on November 19, the Garifuna celebrate Garifuna Settlement Day, marking their arrival in Belize, which was at that time, 1832 again, a British colony, and their many contributions to the Belizean landscape. With this reenactment of the boat landing, as well as oral history intoned by village elders and music, dancing, and food, the national holiday attracts visitors from throughout Belize and the world. It immerses them in why the culture is so unique and why its people are fighting to keep their heritage alive in an increasingly modern world. I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, what do you think? 2018, we're almost halfway through. Almost, this is 2018, so we're what, 32 years away from, halfway through the 21st century? Do you think that people should still be holding on to their cultures if their cultures are not bringing them up to speed with regards to where we are in life right now, with regards to where much of the world is headed. Now, in answering that, keep in mind that there are quite a few cultures, I mean quite a few, a number of cultures around the world where the people want to maintain their culture. They don't want to be in the 21st century. They don't want all the technology with its pros and cons. They like to keep life where it has always been. Now, I know that it's easy for many of us to say, come on, they need to come out of the dark ages. Come on, are they serious? Yes, many of them are serious. Now, there have been people who have wanted to keep their cultures back where it had always been, but once they got a taste of current culture, and when I say current culture, current world culture, they were willing to make some changes, some drastic, some less drastic, some very drastic rather, some less drastic, but make some changes. But others say we do not want to change and we absolutely reject change. Remember what we talked about with regards to being kind and accepting others as they are instead of using these filters of judgment. They're not necessarily bad just because they want to hold on to their historic culture. They are different from many others because they want to hold on to their historic culture, but they're not bad because of it. What do you think? Think there are some advantages as well as disadvantages to holding on, I mean truly holding on to the past, making sure that it remains your present. What was 100 years ago still is today. As far as overall culture, practices, lifestyle, etc., is that necessarily a bad thing? What do you think? Well, they're wanting to hold on to their culture. Ask most Garifuna people and historians about the creation of the Garifuna people. The common story is that West Africans on their way to the New World's slave markets, not by choice but against their will, escaped after two ships wrecked in 1635. And again now, you don't just have this being passed down through oral tradition. You also have historians who give that account. Two ships wrecked in 1635. Of the hundreds of slaves, those who managed to survive swam to the Caribbean island of St. Vincent, where they were welcomed by the Carib and Arawak people and created a distinct culture of food, music, dance, and language. However, the Garifuna American Heritage Foundation in Los Angeles suggests Mali Empire Africans may have arrived on the island as early as the 1200s, and the shipwrecks just added to the population. In other words, the foundation is not saying the shipwreck did not occur, the shipwreck that historians tell us about that they say occurred in 1635 with slaves managing to swim to the Caribbean island of St. Vincent. They're not saying that did not happen. They're simply saying before that happened, Africans from the Mali Empire possibly arrived on the island first, as early as the 1200s. And again, when the shipwrecks occurred in 1635, and those people swam to that same area, they added to a population that was already there. Other historians say the shipwreck story is a result of centuries of oral storytelling and that St. Vincent wasn't even near any regular slave trade routes. Whatever the truth, the shipwreck belief remains the accepted history for the majority of Garifuna people. H. Gilbert Suazo, former mayor of Dangigra and historian of the Garifuna culture, says they were never enslaved. And he says that, of course, as we can imagine, that is a point of pride for the Garifuna people, that they were never enslaved. A 1660 British peace treaty granted perpetual possession of the Caribbean island of St. Vincent to the Garifuna. But less than 10 years later, they broke the treaty and reclaimed the island. The British broke the treaty and reclaimed the island. In 1796, after years of raids and skirmishes with the British, the Garifuna, who were by then the dominant population on the island, after generations of intermarrying with the islanders, were defeated, then deported and marooned on a Spanish-owned Honduran island of Roatan. However, despite being left on a strange shore, they again flourished, and again they were persecuted. We humans are some interesting creatures. Seems like one of the favorite passions of humans is to destroy other humans. Following a Republican revolt in Honduras in 1821, the Garifuna took flight again, and in 1832, they arrived on the Belize coast. They embraced their new home with optimism. You imagine they could have been really, really down, you know, upset, frustrated, aggravated about the fact that they were once again in another place. Not by choice, but out of necessity. They could have been down, down, down. But instead, they were up, up, up. They embraced their new home. They requested to settle in Belize. Now get this. I told you earlier that they tried to get admission to Britain, turned down. But as they tried to settle in Belize, actually. Three times, turned away. At some point, the government finally admitted the Garifuna to Belize, but they had to stay away from the main cities. And if they did enter the city, they needed a pass. So the Garifuna settled south. And one of the largest settlements was in Dangriga, and then Punta Gorda. They were turned away from Belize three times by the British. And remember now, they ended up there because they had basically been run away from where they had been formerly living. Well, the fight to have the Garifuna culture finally recognized officially by the Belize government wasn't easy. Even though they were accepted into the country, finally, they were discriminated against, and they fought to keep their heritage. The Garifuna language, which comes from the Arawak and Carib languages of their island ancestors, was discouraged in schools, and their spirituality was condemned by churches. When the Garifuna suffered spiritual discrimination by the Roman Catholics, which was then Belize's dominant religion, he said they incorporated some of the Roman Catholic saints into their religion and survived. I know some of you are thinking syncretism, which is very, very popular. As you have people saying, hey, you know what? This is the religion that we've been practicing all our lives. All of our descendants practiced this religion this way. And now you're saying we need to practice your religion. All right, we'll do that. And they'll adopt some of the practices of the religion of the dominant culture, but maintain religious practices of their own religion. So they combine, they merge two religions. That's syncretism. And that is something that happens quite a bit. How many of you Americans are aware of people who combine religions as religion is practiced in America? And remember, one of the conditions on being accepted into Belize was that they could not go into the cities, not to live. Visit with passes, and that was it. So they created their own cities. When they were discriminated against in schools, they became teachers and lawyers and doctors. They took their lemons and added to it the ingredients necessary to make lemonade. And they say they will accommodate and change whatever is necessary to survive without sacrificing their culture. Today, the global population of Garifuna is about 300,000, with many found in Belize and Honduras, as well as parts of Guatemala and Nicaragua. And according to a 2010 census report published by the Statistical Institute of Belize, of the country's total population of about 324,500, an estimated 6.1% are Garifuna. And today, the Garifuna are accepted and celebrated in Belize, and they're involved in every aspect of life. Again, check this out, serving not only as teachers and doctors, but also as government officials and business owners. The first official celebration of Settlement Day was in 1941 in the Stan Creek District, according to Suazo. 2 years later, in 1943, Punta Gorda, located 167 kilometers south, was also granted the holiday. And in 1977, Garifuna Settlement Day officially became a public holiday throughout Belize. Honduras has a similar celebration that is celebrated on April 12, which is the date that the Garifuna were marooned on Roatan. Suazo explained that the reenactment of the boat landing is followed by a special mass attended only by the Garifuna and high-ranking government officials. And then the party starts. Hands pound on the drums. The dancing starts. You have the blend of Caribbean and African beats, while the eateries serve up traditional dishes like cowfoot soup, hudat, which is a coconut milk stew made with beaten plantains and vegetables like okra. And Suazo says that they are a very visual people, and so they have floats depicting the culture with drumming and music. And once the parade is over, the streets become a carnival with food, crafts, different drinks, and so on. And there's lots of music, dancing, and festivities. They have colorful costumes and traditional dance that have really turned Settlement Day into sort of like a mini Rio. And the celebrations often continue into the next day. Y'all know yours truly. I wouldn't be able to celebrate that long. I'd have to be calling it a night, getting to bed at a good hour. Leave that celebrating to everybody else who didn't mind being up at all hours of the night. I'm not complaining about y'all doing it, but Brother Man got to go to bed. And check this out, though. We mentioned where the people come from. Thousands flood into the Garifuna towns from districts all over Belize and the world, actually making it one of the country's biggest international events. It's also the perfect time to taste those dishes found only in the Garifuna culture, which are as much of a draw as the pageantry. Suazo says that their food is very different from the rest of Belize. Their food is organic, and he calls it clean. Hudat, one of their main dishes, prepared using organic ingredients like ripe and green plantains that are boiled and then beaten and then mixed together. They grate fresh coconut to make a gravy, and it's spiced with basil, oregano, and okra. That sounds kind of tasty, kind of nutritious. Maybe I should try that. They said that everything comes from the land or the sea. That's how the Garifuna eat, by and large. He explained that the Garifuna still use traditional fishing and farming methods put in place by their ancestors, like line fishing or diving for rock lobsters, only harvesting the mature ones. The plantains are still beaten by hand. And cassava bread is prepared in much the same way as the Garifuna women did it hundreds of years ago. But Suazo is worried that the Garifuna language, like so many other ethnic languages, will disappear. Despite UNESCO proclaiming it, as well as Garifuna music and dance, to be among the masterpieces of the oral and intangible heritage of humanity in 2001, most young people don't speak the language, preferring to speak Caribbean Creole, Spanish, and English, instead. While it appears that they're losing their culture, different aspects of the culture will always remain, according to Suazo. There's not going to be an end to anything. They will evolve. And that will allow them to continue to live their traditional ways of life. What do you think, ladies and gentlemen? Pros and cons to holding on to culture? Particularly historic culture? Or only pros? Or would you say only cons?